Mexico City, and we are from Mexico. We are Mexicans, but we are not living right now in Mexico. We are living in Texas, in the U.S. And today we have the opportunity to share with you guys our testimony. This is something that we are so excited to do. We have been here in Sherman for almost 3 months. We have been working with sharing Bible study with some Angolans, with the small group in Jimei, and some Philippines ladies also. We have been experiencing a really good time here, and we are so happy to be here. It has been a great time to learn, to grow, because I'm so excited. For me, being among different cultures is great, and I love that because I can see what the Lord is doing in different contexts, and I think XICS is a very unique church. So you are so blessed by the Lord, and I'm really happy to be part of you guys just for at least for 6 months that we are planning to stay here. So we have two kids, David and Abigail. Maybe some of you guys already know them. It has been a really amazing journey for us because the Lord has been talking to us in different ways. I was born in a Christian family. Yeah, my father and my mother, they were Christians when I was born, and my grandfather and my grandmother, they were also Christians. So I'm the third generation of Christians in my family. So I'm disappointed. So unfortunately, I didn't know the Lord until I was about 18 years old. That was really when I really met Jesus, when I really understand what was Christianity. And the Lord used a really important family in my life, a couple that they were working as in the state I was living. And this young couple happens to be Pastor Gary and Victoria. We know them, my family and I, we know them for more than 22 years. So you can imagine all the time that I have been the opportunity to be his friend and seeing him, having his first kid, Crisis, and then Paolo, and we worked together for many years. And it has been a good time, and it's still been a good time learning from this family, who has been a really big blessing for all of us. So when I met them, the first time I invited me to go to this Bible study in which Pastor Gay was showing the gospel and preaching. And when I met them for the first time, I said, okay, this is something different. This couple, they have something different that I hadn't seen before in my life. So I decided to attend more often those Bible studies. At the end, I talked to Pastor Gabe and told him, you know, Gabe, I would like to be part of this Bible study. And he told me, you know, that sounds good, but maybe you can go to a bigger church. This church is more for new believers, and I feel more comfortable. Really? Oh, okay, yeah. But let's pray. Let's pray about it. Let's see what the Lord wants for you. Okay. So he prayed. I just ran away. I didn't see him for maybe 3 or 4 months. I got a little mad, but after that, a few months, the same friend that invited me, she kept telling me, you know, you have to come, come again. And I said, but maybe Pastor Gay doesn't want me to be there because some of you are new and I'm old, and you know, I have been in church for all my life. And she said, no, you have to come. Okay, I did it that time, and I realized that Pastor Gay was really praying for me. And the Lord talked to him that I needed to be part of that group. So he started to welcome me, and I started to be part of that. And since that moment, since that time, I started to be discipled by him and by Victoria. And yeah, we started a new relationship, and my life since that time started to change a lot. So I'm happy because of that. After that, the Lord talked to me and then to also to get ready to go and share the gospel abroad overseas. We didn't know where, but the Lord was talking to my life, and then I had the opportunity to come to China to study Chinese in a specific university, and I started to live here for almost, the first time I came for just 6 months, and the second time I came here for like 3 years. 3 years and a half. So I enjoyed this time, and after that I came back to Mexico with the idea that I needed to get married and I needed to find a lady, and I was praying for that lady. I remember Pastor Gay told me the second time we got together to Bible study when I was 19, he told me, okay, you need to start to pray for a wife. And I said, no, I don't want to get married right now. I don't want to. No, it's not because right now, it's for the future. So I just start to pray for a wife. So, okay, I'm going to, okay. And I started to pray for that. I prayed for 10 years for a wife. For 10 years, I was praying, I remember. And I talked to the Lord, and the Lord was very good to me. I'm very happy, and you know what happened next, right? That's the next level. So I'm going to allow my wife right now to share a little bit.
Okay, thank you. Well, brothers, I'm very blessed and honored to be here. I'm a little nervous, but I'm also glad we have this time to share. My husband, he said he came from a Christian home. I didn't grow up in a Christian home. It was more, we would call ourselves Catholics, but we really never went to church. But I remember our parents, my parents constantly fighting because my dad used to drink a lot. There was always conflict because he would drink. And I had an uncle who lived in the States, in the U.S., and I lived close to the border. I was born in Mexico, but I lived close to the border. So it was easy to cross, and especially because of my light skin, I can, my uncle could illegally take me, and I can always say, U.S., American, and they will let me pass. With no problem back then, a long time ago. But I had the opportunity to go to their church, the first time experiencing a Christian church, Christian families, and I just saw the difference of lifestyle, and I wanted that for my family. And I remember my uncle invited my dad to go work in the U.S., and my dad illegally took us to the U.S., and we were all there living, and we knew God had a plan because the Lord let my parents started going to church, and I saw God's miracle in my family. He not only transformed our life, but I saw His power of healing. My brother, when he was born, he was told he needed medication for his life by the doctors. And I remember my mom praying to the Lord and saying, God, if you are really real, I ask that you heal my son, and I will commit my life, and I would allow my children and my husband, you know, to come to church to know you better. And I remember seeing God healing my brother. The Lord answered my mom's prayer. And my brother did not need no medication. The doctors were impressed. And I just saw that God was real and He can do miracles. And I saw the power of my dad transforming, letting go of alcohol, and just seeing how the Lord was restoring. And as I grew up in the Christian church, I was passionate so much about the stories of sharing others going overseas, you know, going different places to share the gospel. I was always excited about that time in our church when we would pray, they would tell us stories. And in my heart, there was always desire to look for Bible classes or institutes that would teach or train me to become someone who can go share the gospel. And I remember a lot of my life as I was young and in college and high school, praying that the Lord would use me. And every time I had opportunities to go to be in a DBS, you know, to go to Mexico or go to some small tribes in Mexico up in the mountains, I would ask the Lord, use me, take me. And I remember, I just love that idea of sharing the gospel in different ways and opportunities. And I involved myself with a lot of friends who had that same passion to share the gospel and have friends, and they'd always tell me, hey, the Lord spoke to me today, you know, with this conference and this people who came to share their experience or sharing the gospel somewhere else, the Lord is speaking to me. I think I'm going to the India. I think I'm going to Africa. And I would always tell the Lord, Lord, where do you want me to go? you know, why are you telling them where to go? How do I know? Where am I going to go someday? And I never knew from my side yet. The Lord never responded to me where exactly specifically, but I knew the Lord someday would use my life. And in that process, the Lord was preparing me in that area. And I think we're going to now start sharing how the Lord brought us together.
Yeah. There's something important that happened when I was trying to get all I needed in order to go overseas. I remember that the Lord shared with me this passage that really was really important for me. I want to read a little. I'm going to read it. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. Your people will rebuild the ancient ruins and will raise up the age-old foundations. You will be recalled, repair of broken walls, restorer of streets with dwellings. For me, this verse was very important. I read it maybe after 1 year. I started to be discipled by Pastor Gabe, but something really interesting happened after 5 years. When I was in a specific church, one young lady got up and she spoke to me, and she told me, you know, the Lord told me that this is also for you. And from that moment, I believe that the Lord called my family to work with people, generations of people, and trying to restore what is broken. So because of that, I started to pray in a very specific way about what I wanted, what I needed. And of course, I would need a wife who also had the same passion, the same vision to be all the time working with people, among people. So that was important. So after that, those 10 years of praying, we met each other. I came back to Mexico after being in China for a long time. So I came back and I started to look for a wife. I was, you know, Lord, just guide me, you know, I don't know where I'm going to find her. If you have someone specific for me, or do you want me to speak for some young lady, just help me, because I'm so nervous and I have never been married before, so that was new for me. So finally, at one point, I met her in a conference, and she was there, and after a while told me, you know, there is this young lady who is willing to go overseas or go wherever the Lord sends you to be, and maybe this is a good time that you could meet her. You know, okay, no problem. I was praying for her for about 10 years. So finally, yeah, I met her. I remember when I was praying to the Lord, I always said, Lord, I need one who loves you. I know that being beauty and all that is for men, it's important, but I understand that this is not the most important thing. So I pray that you change my heart and you don't allow me to guide myself to because she's praying or something like that, but because her, she loves you and she is willing to follow you. So and the Lord worked in a very interesting way, because as soon as I saw her, happened the contrary, right? I saw her, I was like, oh wow, oh, oh Lord, you are good. If you want to give me that thing, that's great. Okay. So yeah, of course I love my wife and I was really impressed with her beauty. But yeah, we start to talk, we start to share ideas, and we were dating for almost 2 years, and after deciding to get married. But yeah, the Lord is good.
Well, that's your side of version. For me, it was like I said, I had passion for missions, for sharing the gospel, and I had a family who always. A sister in church who always cared for me, and she was always telling me, you need to be praying for a husband. And I said, yeah, I know. And a lot of our friends, you know, in the U.S., we would think of Christian friends, who would say, hey, let's make a list. And say, you know, pray to God that, you know, he would answer, God, you know, may he be tall, you know. You know, we would have our own list as friends. parents, you know, thinking our own way of how we would love to have a husband look like. And yes, the man who loves you and cares for you, you know. But I remember this sister telling me, you need to pray. And you don't, if you have a passion for Christ and sharing the gospel, you're not just going to look for any Christian guy. You need to look for a guy who is also passionate for Christ, who has the same vision, the same desire. And I thought, yeah, he's right. Maybe I need to start praying. And this friend and sister and his her husband would always pray for me, and I was telling me stories about people who were overseas sharing the gospel. And at that time, I was in charge of leading the church to pray for different people from that were around the world. And I remember also in our church praying for Gabe and Victoria, and also praying for this guy who never had he only had a blurry vision. We never saw his picture. His identity was hidden. So I remember the sister was like, you need to pray for this guy. I'm like, yeah, we're all praying as a church. She's like, no, you need to pray so that he can be your husband. And I was like, what? I was like, wait, he's overseas. I'm in the U.S. This is impossible. We're so, you know, different. I mean, different places and different times. And she's like, no, you need to start praying for him. And she got to the point that she would constantly telling me every time she would see me, and I was like, I would try to avoid the sister. I was like, oh, I hope she doesn't see me. But I remember I got to the point and said, okay, God, I'm going to pray for this man. And I remember after I started praying, the Lord started changing my attitude. I would now go run to the church and tell the sister, do you know where she's at? Where is he coming? What city is he in now? You know, just because, you know, he was going to come back and share. But then we received a letter from a friend of his. And I remember it was from Pastor Gabe. He sent me a letter saying, oh, you know, Ivan is going back to Mexico and he's looking for a wife. So please pray for him. And I don't have a clue. So I helped the church, you know, tell them, okay, brothers and sisters, I know you've been pressuring me to pray for this, you know, this man who's living overseas and sharing the gospel, so help me pray. You know, if we're meant to be, you know, help me pray and that the Lord guide me, you know, because it's not just to marry him, it's also... he has a passion to serve you overseas, so I really want him to confirm me, is that what he wants me? And so I had the whole church praying, and it was kind of awkward later, because when he ended up going to my church, everybody was watching me and saying, I'm kind of like, hey, how's it going? You know, it's like, I was good to have the church pray, but don't overdo it, please don't pressure. But I remember just when I first met him, when I was doing that, I was in this institute that were people from Mexico, from the other side of the border. I would travel like 45 minutes on the border, cross, and then go to this school that was preparing us to share, you know, learn about cultures and get prepared as young students to be sent, be ready to be sent somewhere. And I remember this school was thinking of bringing him to share to the students. And this pastor, this family that I mentioned to you, they took me to meet him. And I was so nervous because, you know, so much pressure. And he told me, don't worry, he doesn't know you. He has no clue who you are. So I was like, oh, thank God. So I remember when I met him and I shook his hand. But before, I'm going to go back. Before I was going to meet him, a friend of mine had gone to go visit him overseas. He said, hey, you want to see a picture of him before you meet him? I'm like, yes. All this time I've been praying for someone, you know, blurred face. I don't know how he looks like. So yeah, that would be nice. I understand him, you know, he was with all these, he kind of mimics with some of the Asian people he was with, you know, he had straight long hair, and I was like, he doesn't look that bad. I mean, it's okay. up to him and I said, they said, hello, hey. I was just like, wait a minute, that's not the guy. He looks so different. His hair was slicked back with gel. He looked chubbier. He looked darker. And I was like, no, that's not the guy from the picture. And then I remember I stood down and I was kind of mad. I was like, girl, he doesn't look like the guy I was praying for. He's so different. How come he looks different? So my mind was constantly thinking that. And then I was sitting there hearing him share. And then he comes up to me, towards me at the end of the conference. Hey, I'm going to go to church tomorrow. I'm like, oh, yeah, yeah, I'll see you. He said, okay, see you. And I ended up going home. And that whole week, brothers and sisters, I was praying to God. And three times during my devotions during the week, the Lord gave me a Bible passage. It was on 1 Samuel chapter 16, 7. When the Lord tells Samuel not to look at the appearance, but look into he looks into the man's heart. And that whole week, I was like, again, that Bible verse? I'm like, that's interesting. Okay. I highlighted it. So after I met him, I went to bed, kind of discouraged, and then I looked into I had my Bible open right on the side, and it was highlighted, you know, with that Bible verse, and I looked at it, and I'm like, oh no, now it makes sense. So it was kind of like a slap in my head, you know, like, you know, the Lord knew I was going to be guided, you know, like I think you can understand, relate, you know, like sometimes we feel like you have this mind of hoping, you know, when you're young, you know, your spouse or someone will look certain way. And I remember the Lord was reminding me once again, it's not the appearance, it's the heart. And as he was, you know, praying to God that not to be guided by beauty, but the heart. And I just want to, remind you guys, you know, that part, you know, that the Lord spoke to me. So the next day he went to my church and he shared, I was with a new attitude, with a new vision. And when I heard him speak out his heart of sharing, the people, his love for serving the people and being with the people, it just, I saw him up there and I said, he's the man I can follow. He's a man I can go. And I don't look at it, you know, that. And now, I mean, physically, there is an attraction. I love my husband. you know, when that happened, I know he shared with you, you know, that part, you know, that for me, I remember that month, my birthday was coming up, and he wanted to meet with me once again. We had a meal together with the whole church, and literally, I remember when we sat together, it was like we had a little bubble, and nobody was around us. We connected in a certain way, and we went home. We exchanged numbers, and we met during that week. And he calls my house one time, and my mom tells him, "Hey, we're gonna do a surprise party for her. Do you want to come?" And he was invited to the birthday party. And I was in shock to see him. He had roses and a teddy bear. I was like, what is he doing here? And that night, he took some courage. He was like, hey, can I talk to you? You know, alone. And my friends, once again, you know, Christian friends, they were like, oh, no, here's my car keys. You can go talk to her in the car and take your time. And he told me, you know, I really like you, and do you want to be my girlfriend? And I was like, whoa, and I was like, wait. I told him, hey, do you think it's okay if we can just continue praying? Can we ask the Lord if this is what he wants? And he was nice. He was like, okay, I'm going to be traveling around the area here. I'm going to be visiting other churches, but yeah, I'll come back and we'll keep in touch. And yes, he would call me every day at 9 o'clock. He would always call me. And I remember telling this sister who kept begging me about him, you know, you need to pray for this guy. And I told, okay, sister, I pray. I read the word. I need to really be sure he's the man, you know, that the Lord wants together. And she's like, well, ask the Lord for a sign. And I was like, a sign? She's like, yeah, why not? Give it a shot. With the Lord, we can, you know, ask him. If he wants to respond, if not, it's okay. So I said, okay, I'm going to pray, but what should I ask for? No, this is something personal between you and God, so don't tell anybody. So I remember praying that week and thinking, God, what should I ask? So I first started with a red box, with a red bowl, and praying, God, when he gave me a red box with a necklace inside. And the Lord later kind of, he told me like, okay, no red box, no red bowl, just a necklace inside. Then I will be really sure that he's the man I am to marry, the man that I am to follow, wherever you want us to go to serve you. And he comes back and he tells me, hey, let's have dinner. And that time it was Valentine's Day. It was a nice romantic time. He comes back and says, hey, I have 5 gifts to share to you. 5 gifts. And I was like, whoa, 5. I was like, oh, I hope he gets, you know, the one I've been asking for. But through the end, I need to go a little faster. Through the end of the meal, I was worried. He had not given me what I had asked the Lord. And we sat down and he was like, he went to the restroom, he comes back, I'm thinking, I'm like, God, what am I going to tell this man, you know, yes, no. And then he just sat down and he said, okay, I'm going to tell you something, and I'm going to tell you a story before I give you the last gift. And I said, okay. He said, when I was living in China, I was walking down the streets, and there was lots of things that I can buy. And I saw this table, and I looked at this object, and I said, oh, this is something I can, you know, give to my future wife. You know, I can save it to my future wife. And I was just listening to his story, and then he said, and then he had a jacket. He opened his jacket, gave me it. He pulls out from a little sack, and he pulls out this little necklace, and another bonus, he had a bracelet. But, I looked at him and said, yes, yes. He's like, yes, what? Yes, I was just really amazed when I shared to him that I was praying that the Lord would provide this necklace to really know, assure that this he was the man that I was going to be marrying. And I was really grateful that the Lord answered, you know, my prayers. And from there, you know, we took a new chapter. We decided to get married. We dated 2 years, and then we decided to get married.
Yes. Yeah, and it's just the Lord allowed us to have a very romantic story. I really, that we really love, that we really like, but he had a reason. What was coming, we didn't see that coming. Yeah, at this encounter, this meeting for the first time, this time together was amazing. I feel like I was living a really movie. I felt like that. So, but after we got married, everything changed. I real life begins. This is when we start to realize who really we are. Who really we are. I started to realize how evil I was, and she started to realize about her own problems, insecurity, and the same for me. I discovered I was a very angry man. I was a very, sometimes, unrespectful man. And even when I was a Christian, and I worked in different places, and I shared the gospel life, little by little I discovered more about me. And we started to hurt each other, to the point that we decided to take a divorce. It was horrible. It was just horrible the way that we were treating each other. We went to the internet to search maybe to some possible to get divorced as soon as possible. And there was one option that I think was $900 for, I think, 3 or 4 months you can get divorced. So everything started to change. And we were praying to the Lord, what happened? It seems that as she was, and I was happy when I didn't know her and she didn't know me. What happened, Lord? It seems so horrible right now, so difficult right now. I'm so selfish. I want to do many things in my own way. So I didn't know that about myself. We start to discover all those areas that were hidden, that the Lord decided to change. And after that, we came up with this. We wrote one book. I don't remember which one is the author, but he said that marriage is the process of sanctification, and we came to understand that. The Lord took us to realize who really we were. If we needed to ask forgiveness to Him and forgiveness to each other, because we were hurting each other a lot. In 2 years, we would be divorced. Very fast in the years right now, the statistics are increasing. Divorcing is very simple. Yeah, it's increasing a lot. It's very simple. And then we realize why. Because individualism, selfishness, and real marriage is something totally different. So the Lord used that love story for us in order to, every time that we start to struggle, we realize, remember that the Lord was working before all your sins, before all your dirtiness, everything that you have. He has a plan. Don't give up. Don't give up. And that was what we were learning during that process. We start, after getting married, we had the invitation to start a new congregation, a church planter in a very poor area in New Mexico. And we started to work. And at the same time, we were struggling with our characters, the way that we behave. So it was a really hard time. It was a really difficult time. So, but we understood that the Lord, I came to realize again about that passage in Isaiah 58, I just shared, that I cannot be the person that the Lord wants me to be if He doesn't train me for that. And I needed that training. This training, and she also needed that. So the Lord started to do many things in our lives, in ministry. We started to learn more about forgiveness, about to be patient with each other, to work together, that we are one. No, we are not individuals, we are one. And then we realize that marriage is really the process of sanctification. And if you want to be sanctified, guys, get married. the person who is not holy, he cannot see him, right? Nobody who is not holy, he cannot see him. If you want to become holy, you have to start to need to pass through that process. And it's not going to be simple. For the glory of the Lord, we have been married for 8 years already. So yeah, because He is the one who has been helping us a lot.
And I like what you mentioned, when we first, after our honeymoon, we got called. We were like, where are you guys going to live? What are you going to do? We don't know. We don't have a job. We don't know where to go yet. I don't think the Lord was calling us yet to go to overseas. But by the way, we get a call to serve a small community church where we work with Hispanics for almost 3 years. And in those 3 years, the Lord was training us, at the same time using us to be ministers, to ministry with people. Honestly, many times they're like, God, you're using us, not us.
Right.
We're the worst. We're perfect, but we're struggling. How are we going to share the gospel? And like my husband said, I think the Lord wanted to pull out all of us, to purify us, take us to the fire to purify us, to make us more like Him. But in that process, how am I going to understand a woman who is suffering, who's going through insecurities, who's going through suffering with issues about her if I'm not living it? I mean, how are we going to understand others suffering in marriage? How are we going to understand? It's really being the Lord training us so we can be prepared to serve others better, to understand them and guide them to Christ and say, yeah, if it's using us as ministers, I mean, the Lord can use anybody who's willing to say, God, I'm here. I'm not the perfect, but I know you will prepare me. You will in the process. Mm-hmm. And after those 3 years, God had put in His heart to go to seminary. We prayed for that, and the Lord provided a scholarship. We moved to Texas up in Waco, and the Lord gave us a new opportunity there to be in that for 2 years preparing school. We were not ministers at that time. I mean, we had Abby. She was born there. We had David growing up together. But still, the Lord was still calling Ivan to be a pastor somewhere. And he got called to Palestine, Texas to be a minister there. So now we're there almost 3 years now being ministers there. And in that time, we have a church back home who's waiting for us. But also, we are here, and the Lord provided. We never thought we would be here. And we are here with my daughter. I remember my dad telling me, are you sure you want to marry a minister or somebody who shares the gospel? You're going to be poor. I'm like, I know. I was like, yeah, I know, Dad. He said, why don't you look for a doctor, for an architect? Do you like to design things? Look for someone like that. Are you really sure you want to marry him? And I said, Dad, you know me better. You know my desires, my passion for Christ. And I would not change that. And I would follow a man who loves you and serves you. And I can honestly say the Lord has never left us. So if you're afraid, young women, to marry a minister or somebody who's traveling and sharing the gospel, don't be afraid. The Lord will provide. The Lord will provide, and He will sustain you. I mean, it's a miracle to be here. We're pastors, because we no longer have more money. And we're here in China, living. The Lord has provided. He's good. And among you guys, and He's still training us. We're still not the perfect ones, honestly. It was just a battle to get up here and share this. This whole week, it was a battle.
Thank you for giving me this opportunity of 5 years to be here, to be I'm doing some research, and some of you have been so nice to help us with that research, and this is my last step on my theological education. I'm going to pursue a doctorate or a PhD, I'm not sure right now which area, but I'm pursuing that after leaving Xiamen, and let's see what the Lord wants for us. Please pray for us, and thank you for this great opportunity and for allowing us to be part of this amazing church. Thank you.
Thank you.
So let us pray. Let us stand up. Let us pray in order to be dismissed. Dear Heavenly Father, we are so grateful because you are good. You are great. You are the one who plans everything. And Lord, sometimes we don't understand your plans, but we know that you are good and you will fulfill your call in our lives, and we are grateful for that. Thank you, because there is not any chance, God, that any person here is here by chance. It's not here randomly. God, everyone who is here is because you wanted them to be here. And Lord, I know that you have talked to different hearts. I know that you are talking right now to some maybe young ladies or young men that are willing, are deciding to get married. God, help them, guide them. Lord, provide and they make them spend good time with you, praying, talking to you, and Lord, provide the person that they need to marry in order that to fulfill your goals for their lives. Lord, we also pray for every couple here, so you can continue strengthening them, continue helping them, continue being you the help that they need in order to continue, Lord, doing everything they need to do. Oh Lord, thank you for this great family. Thank you for giving to my family the opportunity to be here with them. And bless us this week. So this week we can continue sharing with others your love, how amazing you are. We can share with others what you are doing in Pastor Gabe's life. God, so we can continue being happy in your presence. We can continue delighting us in your presence. God, this week may be a week so we can continue praising you in this land when you want us right now to be. Amen. Thank you for this time. Thank you for your amazing love, and thank you for what you are doing with Pastor Gabe. And we continue praying, lifting him up, so you can continue doing the great miracle that you are doing. And we know that, we declare, because we know that he will hear with us again, doing his job, who have called him to do. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Thank you. We are dismissed. Thank you.
Thank you.